When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to On the Rise, a podcast about female college tennis players on the way up. On the Rise serves compelling stories and unique voices in women's college tennis. This is your host, Perry Scheinen.
In this episode of On the Rise, I will be speaking with University of Florida alum Lauren Embry, who is the top-ranked junior in the world before joining the Gators. Led by head coach Roland Thornquist, Lauren was a five-time All-American for Florida and went undefeated in SEC matches, becoming the only player in program history to be named SEC Player of the Year three times. Lauren spent the past four seasons as the assistant coach at her alma mater before becoming an exercise physiologist.
Welcome to another episode of On the Rise podcast. I'm joined today by Lauren Embry from the University of Florida. Lauren, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for joining. Could we start with how you got into tennis?
Sure. My dad played tennis in college growing up. I have an older brother who also played tennis collegiately at Florida State. So it was kind of just the family sport growing up. And then from a young age, I just had two of the greatest practice partners pretty much my whole life.
And you had an incredible amount of success from a young age. Could you talk about that moment, if there was one, that you decided that professional tennis was your dream?
I don't know if there was an exact moment. I think just the more that I played, the more I started to realize that I loved this sport. I loved competing. I loved the individualness of it, how it was all on me to figure it out. And then I think as I started to have success in the junior divisions and rankings, I realized like, oh, this is a pretty cool life. Like I could get behind this. And then the more that I developed and got pretty good at it, I knew that I wanted to keep taking it a level further and then collegiately on tour just to see kind of how good I could get at this sport.
Did you turn professional before committing to college or how did that work for you?
No, so I committed to the University of Florida and then had some opportunities to play in the Junior Grand Slams and it crossed my mind, but I kind of always knew that I wanted to go to college. It was kind of just a natural progression. I was never homeschooled. I was always in public school. I had separate friends away from my tennis friends, and my parents made that very important. And I think it was very important for me to continue to love the game. So I didn't turn pro before going to college because then you run into eligibility issues. I just played pro tournaments, didn't accept any money, and gained a ranking on the tour so that when I left college, maybe I had a solid base so I didn't have to start from complete scratch. And that's where my level was at those 10,000 level challengers or ITF tournaments. I just mixed that in with some of my junior schedule and then committed to Florida and spent 4.5 of the best years of my life here.
Would you say, at least before committing to college, were you more afraid of success or failure?
I think I just didn't know anything else. Like I didn't really know failure. I mean, I knew obviously if you fail, you just try again. And it didn't really scare me growing up because you're so fixated on competing. And so because I had success in all the age groups that I played and in juniors and in college, that I had full belief in myself, full confidence that I was going to do my best. And I don't think failure really crossed my mind until maybe like the older I got and then started to lose some more or realize, oh, this is hard. What I'm doing was hard to do.
For many of us, we never reach this level, but dream of reaching the level of a junior Grand Slam. Could you talk about what that was like?
I think growing up, I didn't know because I wasn't really exposed to traveling and the ITF circuit until 16, 17, a little bit older than maybe some of my peers. I was still traveling with the USTA and really fortunate to go on trips with them. So I got a little bit of an introduction with traveling the world and seeing that tennis is a global, competitive, very good sport for women. And then obviously the goal was to play in the Grand Slams juniors and to see how I matched up being a top American junior with the rest of the world. And there's so many good players out there that, like, I'm from Marco Island, a very small town in Florida. So, okay, you're the best in Florida, but what does that really mean? So it was fun to see a bigger scale of tennis and just compete with the best girls in the world.
So you get to college, freshman year. How did you really learn to be a teammate? Because it seems like it was so instilled in you before you actually were doing it.
It just comes back to your environment, who you're around. Like, the coaches made a very good effort to show that and lead by example. And like, I think I did have that internally in me without really knowing it. So then I just saw all the successful athletes and teams here and coaches, and literally everybody wants you to do well. So you're like, how can you not play for something bigger than yourself? It almost makes it easy. But it's definitely like something you have to adjust to and learn about. But I just think it was natural for us just because of what we are around and surrounded by day in and day out.
Did you feel more pressure or less once you entered college?
Honestly, I think I felt less because there was no expectation. I was this freshman, like, was just going on court to play and train and compete. Like, the outside noise wasn't really a thing.
You obviously did incredibly well with a championship. Could you talk about that?
We were very fortunate to have the same team in the 2 years that we won back-to-back championships. And we got close the other 2 years. So my freshman year, we lost in the finals. Sophomore, junior, we won. And then senior year, we lost in the final four. All to Stanford. Florida Stanford had won those 4 years. They're incredible, and it's a huge, well-respected rivalry, but it was the culture that we built here and the environment that our coaches had us in every day. Like, we genuinely loved each other. We're still in a group text to this day. We go to each other's weddings and all that stuff, and those are the things you remember. And then the winning kind of just takes care of itself if you're surrounded by quality girls and coaches and an atmosphere like that.
As an underclassman, really putting your hands on that trophy and earning it, what did that feel like?
It's incredible. I mean, it was probably the best experience I've ever had, just because you feel so much love and so much pride for representing Florida in the way that our team did. And I don't think individually, if we were in those moments, that some of those girls would have pulled out those matches. I think it's because collectively as a unit, we had each other's backs, and we knew that we did. We knew that we had put in the work. We knew that we were different and special, and that's why we came here. And that's what Florida does in every sport and program, is you win championships. So it was just fun to be a part of that.
I saw this incredible stat when I was playing college tennis, that college really comes down to a few points, in women's tennis. And could you talk about that and the impact of that?
It's definitely a very small margin between winning championships and losing them. We relied a lot on our fitness. Roland always reminded us, like, hey, the longer the matches go, then the better chance that Florida has. And we stood behind that. We took pride in that.
Could you talk about how you developed that stamina?
Yeah, my coach growing up, Julie, like, she was just really tough, and she took pride in making sure that you never lost a match based on stuff you could control, which is your physicality and how good a shape you are in. And her practices were always super intense. So that's just what I grew up with. My dad as well, older brother, just beating me every day. So you just kind of build that resilience without knowing. And then the team that we had built and that the coaches had built here relied a lot on that. We're also in Florida in the summer. It's hot as heck here. So we knew we had that advantage as well. Our fitness, we didn't take lightly, and kind of embraced it and loved that part of it.
I find it really interesting, and something that me at a lower level of tennis would worry about sometimes, was practicing with a guy versus practicing with a girl. So you said that you grew up practicing with your brother, and how did that impact your game?
Yeah, I always had a practice partner, which was awesome. He was always better than me, which is awesome, because it built resilience and determination. And it's a little bit different from a ball striking standpoint, maybe practicing with a guy than a girl. But at the end of the day, if you can get something out of anything, I mean, there'd be times where we'd go to clinic and I'd be practicing with lower level guys or girls. But Julie, also my coach, had reminded me that it's in your control of what you get out of it. I didn't have too many options because we're from a very small town. So maybe that helped my mindset too, subconsciously being like, okay, this is all I have for today. Let's make the most of it. But yeah, having my brother and my dad day in and day out, just kicking my butt, definitely helped me and built the strength, I think.
In this small town that you're from, where did you practice?
Just local courts. After school, we'd go at night, right before dinner. And then sometimes before school, my dad and I would just get out there for 30, 45 minutes. I'd go serve, do some fitness, anything really to get just a little bit more time or more reps. Had to find the time because I was in school all day.
So after Florida, you play professionally. Could you just talk about that transition from college to then back on your own again?
It's a hard transition. You go from having all of this support and all of these great teammates and great coaches at your disposal and resources to kind of just getting thrown on tour. And I was very lucky and fortunate to have a coach travel with me who is a very good friend of mine. She was 6 or 7 years older than me. So she played all the hats. She was my mentor, friend, coach, therapist, you know, all of the things. And we traveled together for about 1.5 years, I would say. I moved out to LA to train with her. And that part was incredible. The experiences of just traveling the world and seeing different things just because of a sport. But it's definitely a lonely-ish lifestyle. It can take a toll on you. It can wear on you. But you build resilience and you learn a lot of the lessons. I tell all the girls here, if they're thinking about playing or have a dream, that they should totally do it and experience it.
How did you maintain your mental health during this time of somewhat loneliness?
I mean, at the end of the day, I was traveling around the world and playing tennis. So it's like, is my life really that bad? No, my life is awesome. I mean, I took the losses very hard because I was competitive. And obviously, you want to win, you put in a lot of work, and that's the end goal. But you get older, I matured, my perspective changed of how lucky and fortunate I was to be able to do what I do and see parts of the world that people would dream of, and just because of a sport and because I've done this my whole life. But it's definitely hard when you're in, you know, the middle of China by yourself, losing first round. You know, second guess yourself and your belief, and it goes up and down, but you keep your circle pretty tight and you have supportive people around you and they help you get through it.
Was there a time when you either stopped enjoying it or it became less magical?
I think so, yeah. And I think that weighed into my decision of moving on and closing that chapter. I think I just really had to have an honest conversation with myself about where I was headed and what I wanted at 26 or 27, however old I was. Everyone has different experiences of what they go through and their thoughts on to keep playing or to stop. But for me personally, a big one was just having a more stable life. I just didn't want to live without a suitcase anymore. The financial aspect kind of took a toll on me just because you're 200, 230 in the world and you're like, wow, how are you just breaking even? Especially if I have a coach, you know, barely making money, all of the things that the pro tennis players go through. And I kind of lost the desire to day in and day out train and compete. And when that hit me, I was like, okay, I need to reassess because it's not fair to myself or people that are supporting me. And really, that was kind of the main thought process as I was like turning over that leaf and figuring out what else I wanted to do with my life.
And so now that you're at your alma mater, you're back at Florida, what does that mean to you?
It's crazy that it's all come full circle, honestly. When I was in college, I would not have guessed that this would be my path. I'm so glad it is, but I just, you know, you don't know. You're so fixated on one thing and can't really think outside the box. And for me to be back here working with someone who coached me and knows me so well and just being able to give back to Florida and be on the other side of it is really special. And I just feel really grateful that I've had this opportunity. And I really want to make the most of it and continue to help the teams that we have here just do their best.
Being on the other end of it in your own school, does it make you see your own experience differently?
I don't know. That's a good question. I definitely see things differently being on this side of it, but I don't think it alters my experience as a player. Like, I can totally see what these girls go through and the things that they face and deal with, the good, the bad, the adversity that they go through. The coaching part was definitely the new piece, but I've had great head coaches and bosses that, like a player, like you just look up to the people who are around you. And I've been really fortunate to have two of the best, in my opinion. And I learned a ton and just trying to be consistent and just be myself.
As we look to wrap up here, I'm wondering about this space that I like to call the in-between space. It's those first few months, maybe year, 2 years after your competitive career. What is that transition like in terms of self-care? Because for me, fitness and self-care go hand in hand. And so it's something that I've really struggled with and was wondering how you dealt with it.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think it's so common that we need to discuss more because you go from an athlete of any level, professional, collegiate, junior, where you're just so invested in your body and you're working out and you're just spending so much time exercising to, okay, wait, this is part of my life is over. Now I have to have a whole new routine, habits, like, okay, I played tennis every single day for 20 years or whatever. Now what? So for me personally, I got really into nutrition and fitness, and I had my own like obstacles with nutrition, which helped me take the passion for it and just learn about it. But I think a lot of it's education. especially with females and women and self-image and all that stuff, just educating yourself on whatever the topic is that you're struggling with, I think can go a really long way.
How do you bring confidence for yourself now that you're no longer a competitive athlete?
I mean, at a time, I probably thought that my identity was tennis, but at the end of the day, it's not. It's just something you do, but it's not who you are. So just having that honest conversation with yourself and realizing what else that you like to do, what brings you joy, what brings you happiness, do those things, spend time for yourself. I think it's really important to focus on that part of yourself so then you can invest in other things and people and relationships and all of those things.
I appreciate you sharing your story, and I thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, and I love what you're doing on this podcast. I can't wait to listen to more guests and to learn and to hear other people's stories. It's fantastic.
Hi, Perry here. The conversation you just listened to was recorded in September 2022, but I reconnected with Lauren in January 2023 amid an exciting career shift away from college tennis, but still in the world of sports. That's coming up next.
I am finishing this month working for the University of Florida, and then I start my new job on February 6th in Austin.
Very cool. And what will that be?
So I'm working as an exercise physiologist / nutritionist at Miraval Resorts. It's like a health and wellness resort. So I'm pretty excited. It seemed to me like it was a really good transition for me in my life with everything that's been going on. So I kind of just took the leap and just kind of going for it.
It must be emotional for you to be leaving college tennis, though.
Yes, I'm very sad about it, honestly. It was a really, really tough decision. I love what I do. I love the people I work with and for, and I'm around every single day. And the girls that come through this program, I'm so lucky to feel so close to them and develop a relationship with them and help them. And I'm definitely going to miss that part of it for sure. Florida has obviously given me a lot of opportunity in my life, and we've had a good run, and it's all amazing people. So it's kind of bittersweet. It's a new chapter for me, though, and I'm just excited to kind of see where that takes me. Forever a Gator, always a Gator. Going to miss everybody here, but just really excited for the future.
What are your thoughts about leaving the sport that you've always grown up in?
Yeah, I mean, it is weird. Tennis has been in my life at some point my entire life, and I loved every second of it. I wouldn't say I'm leaving it forever. I'm just starting something new and challenging myself in a different way. Health and wellness and fitness and nutrition has been a huge passion of mine kind of my whole life, but really my journey post-college. So I just kind of want to see the pool of people I can help with that. And just a new environment for me is going to be really kind of like a breath of fresh air for me. So I'm really looking forward to it. Honestly, I don't really know what to expect, but I'm going to work hard at it and enjoy every step of the way. That's for sure.
And I feel like in a lot of ways, being a competitive athlete and then being a coach, you're kind of combining those two things in the wellness space.
Yeah, there's different parts of it for sure. Helping people is what I love to do. And part of the job is teaching and educating and giving lectures kind of on anything nutrition related, whether that's the benefits of sleep or your metabolism or your gut microbiome or whatever it is. And then another half is consulting nutritionist, giving advice or helping plan people's meals or seeing what their goals are and things like that. And then the possibility of training if they want to get into the gym and get a solid routine going to help them when they leave there.
It's awesome. And was there a certain moment when you knew that you were leaving college tennis, or was this just because of this opportunity arising?
Yeah, I was never just going to leave just to leave. Like I said, I love what I do, and I'm very thankful and blessed that I'm in this position, and I don't take that for granted at all. So it was really a tough decision, like it was with any big life decision, but it's not forever that I'm out of college tennis. It's just kind of right now I needed a new chapter for me and my happiness, all the things I wanted to prioritize. And that was, to be honest, like the ultimate factor for me. It's been kind of a rough year, so just wanted to make a change.
I'm really sorry to hear about, you know, everything that did happen this year. And, you know, how are you doing?
Like I said, I've had unbelievable people in my life. The Gainesville community has helped our family so much. They've gone above and beyond to show their support and show their love. So that's just unbelievable. And we're so, so thankful for that. But our family's very close, and my mom's very strong, and my brother is a rock. So we're all kind of a unit just getting through it together. But right now I'm excited to finish here strong and then make my way to Austin and see what happens there.
And the weather is slightly less humid than Florida.
Oh, for sure. Nothing's worse than 99% humidity and 99 degrees, honestly, for 3 months straight. But it makes you tougher, and it makes you go anywhere and be like, oh, this isn't so bad.
This has been an episode of On the Rise, a Tennis Channel podcast in partnership with Behind the Racket. It's produced by Molly Getman and Lyric Bowditch. Join us next time to continue our conversation about women's college tennis. This is Perry Scheinen, On the Rise.